This is your Classic It's Breakfast with Jordan Curtis. And while the Port Augusta City Council are trying to curb antisocial behaviour, there are issues in Port Augusta that do need addressing, some root causes of antisocial behaviour. I'm joined this morning by Ross Womersley, CEO of the South Australian Council of Social Services. How are you this morning, Ross?
I'm good, thank you, Jordan.
So, obviously, as part of the Social Services Council in SA, you have a pretty good sense of the social services sector across the state. And what's the situation in Port Augusta?
Well, I think the situation in Port Augusta is a bit like many of our regional communities. The social services sector is not as well represented as might be found in metropolitan Adelaide. And, of course, general access to services, whether they're health services or support services of one sort or another, in the regions is just not nearly as convenient nor available in the same way that sometimes it is in metropolitan Adelaide.
Of course, the Port Augusta City Council is looking to curb antisocial behaviour, whatever that may be. And I've spoken with the mayor of Port Augusta, and he says that they're looking to petition state and federal governments for more help on services front and also on a policing front. From your understanding of what's happening in Port Augusta, what's your take on the situation?
Look, I think the circumstances are complicated, and there's probably a whole range of issues going on, many of which are not new. They're not, you know, of this moment. They're really issues that have been present in the community for a long time. Port Augusta's pretty unique in terms of the role that it plays as a crossroads for everybody moving across South Australia and up into Northern Territory and across into Western Australia. And, of course, we know that there's a reasonable number of remote Aboriginal communities that also transition through Port Augusta on their way to getting to access medical care in Adelaide or catching up with friends and family. And so it's not unusual for there to be people moving quite frequently through Port Augusta. And I understand that particularly around this time of year, each year, it seems as though there's a bigger influx of people on the go.
And, of course, with people just moving through the town, social services probably aren't as utilised for whatever issues may be present in their lives as people who are a bit more based in Port Augusta. But what's been the, I guess, situation for the social services in town? Like, how have they been feeling about current events?
Well, I think generally speaking, there aren't a large number of big services in town or services with a large footprint. And of course, when you have a large footprint, it enables you to develop much more, a bigger presence in a community and to have much stronger connections to people so that when stuff is happening, you become alert to it and you can kind of work to intervene in ways that are helpful. And of course, if people are additionally transitioning through, so there's large numbers of people kind of coming temporarily and then moving on, of course, anybody that arrives with particular issues in that context is going to be harder to serve, particularly if we're not paying attention to connecting with them and spending time to ensure that we know what it is that they need in the way of assistance and support. And of course, in our regional areas, and this has been an issue for many, many years, we just don't have, so we do know that one of the issues that surrounds regional communities is that we have major issues around addiction. And in that context, we know that one of the best and most important things for people who are struggling with addictions but are keen to address them is that they can address them at the time that they're ready to do it. So if I'm making a decision, I've come out of Christmas and I've understood that my life just isn't the way it ought to be. And one of the reasons for that is because I drink far too much alcohol, or because I'm addicted to some other drug, or, you know, even on a range of prescription drugs that are kind of messing with my head. You need to be able to help people at the time that they say they're ready to jump. And of course, what we know is access to treatment services for people who are struggling with addiction is actually very challenging. It's very challenging in the metropolitan area. It's even more challenging in our regional communities. And, of course, in order to be able to help people and to act preventatively, you need to be able to have that infrastructure available on the ground, ready to respond when people are asking for the help that they need, as well as being able to know and connect with people through the community so that, in fact, they understand that the help is available.
As you said, the social services in town don't quite have the footprint that they probably need to be as effective as they could be. Is this something that they're just under-resourced? They don't have the support from all levels of government to be able to do the job they need to do?
I think one of the things that I continue to hear from people is that they feel like there are a range of resources going into town, but there isn't necessarily anyone with a coordinating authority who in fact are leading some level of collaboration between the services to ensure that, and connecting people to the different services that they actually require. Now, it was my understanding that the council itself was running what seemed to be quite a successful City Safe program for a period of time, and for one reason or another that I'm not clear about, that program was ceased a few months ago, and it seems as though, from what I continue to hear, that as a result of that program was doing some of that very practical help to people who were in town struggling with issues and connecting them to the different places that they might need to be able to get the support that they need, providing some practical help with transport if that was what they actually required, helping them connect to medical services if that was what was required. And of course, it did sound to me as though that kind of support was fundamental, and it would seem to me that that makes a lot of good sense. So putting aside the question about whether we might want to prevent antisocial behaviours, and of course no one wants to live in a community where there's sort of terrible antisocial behaviour, but we need to actually go to the sources, the things that create the circumstances that lead to the behaviour, not just to the behaviour itself and just trying to eradicate it, as though a law and justice response in this instance won't deal with the fundamental issues that might be behind the reasons why people in the community are behaving the way that they are.
And the community itself has started a petition to bring back the City Safe program, over 600 signatures so far. But is it also something that, I guess, the social services were in support of? Obviously, by the sounds of it, it was easier for them while it was in place to connect with people who needed them.
Yeah, I think there is general support for the program, but there's particularly, I suppose, support for the idea of creating some authoritative point of coordination, and whether that's a social services a non-government social services agency that in fact is given that role, or whether it's a key government department or local government itself, somebody needs to have a way of bringing together the resources. I mean, clearly there probably needs to be complementary resources or extra resources coming into town to assist with some of these issues. But the bigger issue, I suppose, is in addition to getting those supplementary services, we need those services to be coordinated so that, in fact, people can be connected to the right things at the right time for the issues that they actually require support with.
Well, we might just leave it there. Is there any other final thoughts you have on the matter?
Look, I think that one of the things, and this is going to be very topical, but I think is one of the things that we need to be thinking about as a community is, I don't know that we're still the wonderful multicultural community that we aspire to be. I think in lots of instances we are a multiracial community, not a multicultural community. And by that, what I would say is that if we're really seriously multicultural or seriously committed to becoming a multicultural community, we'd actually find ways to embrace, incorporate, celebrate not just the diversity of the range of people who form our multiracial community today. We'd find ways to embrace their strengths and take opportunities to really engage with them. Now, I don't think in many of our communities across Australia today that we're necessarily doing as much of that as we possibly could. And I'd love to see some work done on building the way that we share culture, the way that we embrace expressions of culture. And of course, one of the cultures that we've not been terrific at embracing is in fact Aboriginal culture. And we know Aboriginal culture is incredibly rich, incredibly diverse. And of course, the interesting thing about a place like Port Augusta is there are different groups of Aboriginal people who all kind of merge towards Port Augusta and then dissipate away. So in fact, there would be real opportunities for us as a community to engage in a deep conversation with some of those Aboriginal leaders, some of the sort of elders from the community, and to talk about what embracing culture would actually mean, in addition to embracing some of the other cultural groups that racial groups that we know exist throughout the Port Augusta community. We know that there's a large number of people who come from Indian backgrounds, for example, and there's a number of people that come from Asian backgrounds. Now, all of those people bring their culture into Australia, and we can be a much richer place if we can find ways of embracing them. And of course, one of the ways that we might express that embracing could be through the development of teaching Aboriginal languages at local schools. Now, I'm not sure how much of that is going on. I doubt that there's a lot of that going on. But, of course, that would be a way of stepping out and inviting the next generation, this group of young people that we're trying to develop and grow into, you know, good citizens of the future. It would be a way of sending a message directly to them about how we think about our relationship to other people in our community that aren't the same race as us, and how we want to be able to embrace and draw on the strengths of their culture.
No worries. Well, Ross, thank you so much for your time today.
You're really welcome. Thank you, John.
That was Ross Womersley, the CEO of SACOS on your Classic It's Breakfast.